So, Eric, I heard that you're basically a hero.
I am, Nikki.
A hometown hero.
I'm standing in the middle of the street flexing just to show how strong and powerful I am. I assume that's what heroes do.
Yeah. That's crazy because I'm pretty much a hometown hero also.
What?
Yeah.
Are you also standing in the middle of the street flexing?
Look, I improved my town's quality single-handedly. Donated all the things to the museum.
What was the quality of the town? I mean, it couldn't have been that bad.
It was bad.
How bad was it?
There was an oil spill. They let some giant corporation move in on their island. And they spilled oil all over the place. And then there's like nothing fun to do in this town. Just a bunch of people roaming around.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
I definitely don't want to move
They really needed us.
Yeah. But yeah, we're heroes. We did it. So what did we do exactly?
We donated single-handedly every single thing in the museum.
That's true.
Including fish. So it's like an aquarium/museum. You know, we mined. Yeah. We worked in the mines.
I assume we made that evil corporation clean up their own oil spill, right?
No. No.
We didn't?
No, we did not. What did we do, Eric?
I'll tell you what we did.
You tell me.
Down to the bottom of the ocean.
We sure did.
With a scythe. And we just broke up all that garbage.
We just broke it all up and like packed it in our bag, right?
And packed it in our bag.
Yeah.
Some of it, at least. Stuff that just didn't go floating everywhere.
And then the oil like magically disappeared.
Well,
was,
we
like,
had to.
Pretty cool.
When we found the magic relic in the area, that summoned the tower and that cleaned up the oil like any environmental company would do.
Yeah, and we're also probably like ethereal beings. I'm just saying we can communicate with the goddess.
Yeah, that's true.
Of Coral Island,
we were blessed by God by giants, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and just everyone loves us. We can talk to animals.
I heard that we can turn into a mermaid or a merman when we want.
Well, I can. Can you?
I'm getting there.
Okay, so we know who the better hero is here.
I just have to do some cave stuff. I have to go into the underwater caves.
Yes, yeah, so we're going green here on the podcast. We care about the environment. That was the whole moral of that whole story. That and the game that we're talking about today.
And what game are we talking about, Nikki?
Coral Island.
Coral Island is a 2023 farming simulation game developed by Stairway Games and published by Humble Games. Set on a tropical island, the game features mechanics similar to other farming simulations such as Stardew Valley. Coral Island entered early access for PC in October 2022 and was fully released November 14, 2023 alongside its console versions.
Cool.
Yeah. And then
that sounds about right.
Yeah, and then a quick spoiler warning. I would say it's less of a spoiler warning about the story and more about
the
unlockables and stuff like that, because I feel like that could be a spoiler in itself. Maybe we already spoiled it at the top.
It kind of is, yeah. But hopefully, you know, you've kind of played the game if you're listening. If not, you can go play it. So.
Okay. So, Nikki, did you find anything interesting in the history of the game?
Oh, I actually did. I found a lot of stuff, and I'm pretty excited to share it with you.
Okay. Well, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So we all know by this point that you love farming simulations. You probably like part farmer at this point.
What?
Because, you know,
I do?
Yeah, you liked Animal Crossing. You like Stardew Valley. I think you pretty clearly like this game.
Is Animal Crossing a farming sim?
I would say partially, yeah.
Okay. I mean, you kind of crossbreed the flowers and stuff, but you're not really like growing crops.
Yeah,
are you?
You can grow crops. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. It's been a long time since I've played an Animal Crossing.
I mean, it's growing crops, gathering stuff. It's a, you know, typical life sim, farm sim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I do. I would call myself a cozy game lover. Yes, I would identify that way.
Cool. Are you practicing for when you get your own farm someday?
Absolutely not. I don't think there's any way I would survive as a real life farmer, but it's really fun to pretend.
I assume it's just like in the video games where you just automate things and it show up in your chest and then someone magically takes the chest away and pays for everything.
And you never have like muscle aches or like injuries or, you know, any of that stuff.
I would honestly love just to have a magic box where I could just stick anything in it and I would get like, you know, approximately the value of that object or maybe like a fraction of it. Like,
I mean, that might come in handy.
You could just put all your trash in there and get like, you know, $1 a day or $2. And then when you need to get rid of something,
be great.
Like a sofa, you could get like most of the value back out of it.
$10.
All $10 of that sofa out of it.
Depends on the sofa and what that sofa's been through.
True. Yeah.
But yeah, among other genres, I do enjoy a cozy game. Those aren't always farming sims, you know, but I do like simulation games in general.
Cool.
Or at least the ones I've played. There's probably some like bad ones out there, but a lot of the ones I've played I've liked so far.
Yeah, most of the ones I've played have been pretty good, including this one. This one was actually better than I thought it would be.
It's a somewhat newer genre for me. I never really played like a farming sim game really until probably like Animal Crossing or something.
Yeah.
And we didn't even get that right when it came out. I played that way after the pandemic and like none of my friends were playing it anymore.
What about like, I remember there was it Farmville? It was like a Facebook app that was popular for a while.
I remember that. I never played that.
I never really got into that either.
I didn't really play a lot of the Facebook games, mostly because it was just annoying you to like get your friends to do all this stuff, and I was like, I'm not about doing that.
Yeah, that's kind of what turned me off of those types of games as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you want to get started talking about how the lovely Coral Island was made?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, cool. So I want to start first with a little bit about how Stairway Games got started, because Coral Island is the very first game that made. So
coming out of the gate swinging.
Yeah. So the two co-founders, Soma Wisnu Putera, hopefully I didn't butcher that too much, and Jeremy Bramble. So they were both working on a project, the same project, but this was not video game related. Okay. This was another field. And so somehow they, like, maybe they're in the same field or maybe they just got put together on a project, but they were meeting up to talk about this project that they were going to be working on for their job.
For their regular 9-to-5 type jobs.
Yeah, for whatever jobs they had before. And upon this meeting, they really like kind of started chatting. We're getting to know each other. They discovered they're both really huge gamers.
Oh, well, that's convenient.
Yeah. And so they even start to talk about, oh, it'd be so cool to create a game one day. I would love to create a game like The Witcher. Like, oh, that would be cool. And they were both like really into it, I guess. They're like, yeah, that would be cool. Like, what are we doing here?
I'm done with this. Like, let's go make The Witcher.
What are we doing with our lives right now? So they must have been doing something where they were making pretty good money, though, because like one thing led to another. And then before you know it, they independently financed the studio.
Okay.
Stairway Games in Indonesia. And they started to hire some developers and stuff.
Okay.
So
this
started.
So Stairway Games is in Indonesia?
Mm-hmm, it is Indonesia.
Okay, cool.
In Indonesia. So, Eric, you might be saying, what happened to making a game like The Witcher? Coral Island is
It's pretty different.
Anything like The Witcher?
I assume you have to start somewhere, and maybe The Witcher was like a little bit too cinematic, a little bit maybe too tough. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I feel like as much work that went into Coral Island, they probably could have made an adventure-type game if they wanted to. But it turns out they both also really love farming sims.
Okay, yeah.
So they're like me. They like a little bit of everything, it seems like. Because I like games like The Witcher, and I also like games like the farming sims and stuff, too.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, they both grew up playing, like, Harvest Moon and stuff. So after discussing, I guess they had, like, a team meeting, you know, to see, like, what they wanted their first game to be. And the farming sim genre really, like, echoed with the team. I guess that's, like, what everyone was sort of the most excited about creating. So I guess they were like, all right, well, start there. You know, you gotta start, like you say, gotta start somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly, just from a development standpoint, that sounds like a good idea to start with a game like that. I mean, it, you're right. It is a lot of work too. Maybe just as much as like cinematic style RPG, but I feel like it's more manageable, like more on the programming side of the workload and less on the, you know, finding talented voice actors and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, seems like a good idea. Like, cause if people are excited about doing it too, then the game's probably going to come out better.
That's
something
true.
That they're just being forced to do because they're getting paid.
Yeah.
So like, obviously this game was inspired by Harvest Moon, like so many of these kinds of games are.
Yeah, that kind of kicked off the farming sim genre. One of the first games I can think of that was like, yeah, just a farming sim. Farming sim slash dating sim, because you can like date the village girls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They kind of combine those genres together.
Gotcha. Can you think of any other games that might have inspired this one?
It feels very heavily influenced by Stardew Valley.
Yeah,
I'll
of course.
I put that out there.
Of course. Any other ones that you could maybe think of?
You could go with Animal Crossing. I kind of already mentioned that a little bit.
Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Yeah, Disney Dreamlight Valley. Yeah, 100%.
Even though they kind of came out probably around similar times.
Yeah, true.
Have you ever heard of a game series called Story of the Seasons?
I have not.
So that was another big inspiration for the game. And I looked that up. They have like, I think, 6 different games. So there's like a whole bunch of different ones. But yeah, they look very, like when you see the artwork on the covers of those, you're like, wow, those cows look just like the cows in Core Island.
It's funny. I can think of also Rune Factory. Rune Factory is a big series, a big farming slash dungeon crawl type game series.
So after getting their idea set and they kind of know what game they want to make, they launch a Kickstarter for Coral Island on February 1st, 2021.
Okay.
Kickstarter is like a really big part of their story. So their starting goal was $70,000. Okay. They end up reaching over 70% of that within the first 12 hours.
Wow.
So like, before the first day is up, they've almost gotten their whole entire, like, what they were asking for.
So the hype spreads quickly.
The hype did spread quickly. They ended up raising, do you want to take a guess of, like, how much they ended up raising?
So their goal was 70,000.
70,000.
I'm going to say double. I'm going to say 140,000.
Way more.
Ooh. I'm going to say 500,000.
1,639,368. Wow. This is what they ended up getting overall with over 36,000 backers.
That's crazy.
That is nuts. They also received an Epic Mega Grant from Unreal Engine, which is like a grant that they give out to indie game developers. You have to apply and, like, you know.
Oh, wow.
They like give it out and stuff. I could not find exactly how much they got from that grant because no one really said the amount on Google. It said it could be anywhere from 5,000 to 500,000. So that's really big range. But they did say with the money they got from the grant, they were able to hire on a few more key roles for the game. So I'm assuming they got like at least in the hundreds of thousand dollars from that grant. Because if you're hiring at least 2 people, that, you know, their salary, you know, hopefully they're getting paid.
So how many, do you know how many people they ended up hiring for the game?
I do not know. I don't think I saw that anywhere. I don't think it was like a super huge team. I know they only have 1 artist that does all their character drawings and stuff, but I'm not really sure about the other things.
Okay, cool. Well, like a artist, I assume there's like a 3D model, some 3D modeling people too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure there's like all kinds of other people. This game has so much stuff in it.
Yeah.
But I was looking at some of the comments on the Kickstarter campaign, and it looks like a few folks are kind of mad that they still haven't gotten like some of the things they were promised.
Oh, really?
For backing it. Most of it is like at the beginning, they were pretty sure they were going to have a port for the Switch, and just that really has not came out. But we can talk more about that in like the future section.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Oh. So Coral Island was released for early access in October 2022 and then released on Windows, PlayStation 5, Xbox X, November 14th, 2023. So almost a year later.
Okay. That's pretty still good no for early Switch. Access. Still no Switch game, yeah.
But yeah, like I said, we'll talk about that more in like the future because I guess that sort of happens. Some of that stuff happens after the release of the game, so I guess that would count as yeah. like the future.
Yeah, you can save it. That's fine.
All right, so are you ready for some Coral Island fun facts,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, let's do some fun facts.
Awesome. So how many music tracks do you think are in this game?
I know it's a lot because I actually looked up the soundtrack at one point because I was making the rap beat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say close to 60.
Good guess. Good guess. There are over 140 tracks.
140. Okay.
Composed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nuts. I remember seeing, I'm like, okay, I'll go and maybe find a song from the soundtrack and seeing the 140 tracks and being like, which track am I going to try to find? And so it was really just like what I could find sheet music for.
Yeah, the music varies by season, offering distinct day and night tracks, as well as themes for in-game events, such as the New Year Festival and the Harvest Festival. Areas like the Beach Shack, General Store, and Blacksmith each feature like a unique background song, like the Giant Area has its own song.
Yeah, there are a ton of songs, but I think a lot of them are kind of like on the shorter side.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, over 140 tracks composed for this game.
Crazy. That composer did a ton of work on that.
Yeah. All right, fun fact number two. When you complete all the offerings for the first altar, the first goddess altar.
Okay, yeah, I did that.
You'll unlock a new area to the west of your farm near the bridge before the mines.
Yeah, I know. I'm familiar. You get the hardwood, there.
Yes, yes, yes. So apart from this being the only area where you can forge for ginseng, a ghost may appear randomly in the small cemetery near the large tree. Have you ever seen the
a ghost? A ghost?
Ghost. Yeah, have you ever seen a little ghost flying around in the cemetery in that forest area?
I have not seen any ghosts.
Well, if you...
Do you have to believe in ghosts to see?
You do. No, but if you go to that area between 5:20 and 11 p.m., you'll see the ghost, or you could see the ghost. And did you know they drop seasonal items? Like, I have seen this ghost, but I don't think I've ever seen it drop anything or gotten anything that it drops.
Okay. No, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't even know the ghost existed, so.
Yeah, I thought that was crazy. So, yeah, if you want to go check that out, like, go at night, go hang around in that cemetery, and wait for the little ghost to show up.
All right, I'll do that then.
I think that same ghost has come to my bin and stolen my eggs, too. Like, what? Have you ever... So you have experienced, like, the chill in the night where you wake up and I was like, ooh, I felt a chill or, like, anything like that?
No chills in the night.
Interesting. You never even saw a ghost at the Halloween festival?
I mean, I saw people dressed as ghosts.
Okay. Because there's a little ghost that kind of floats around at the Halloween festival, too.
Ooh.
I don't think they drop anything. You can't talk to it, but you can see it like a couple little areas.
Trying to remember. I did have to do the Halloween festival twice because once the game froze.
Oh no.
But yeah, I don't remember ghosts.
Yeah, apparently they do believe in ghosts on Coral Island.
Well, that's probably because they're actually ghosts. That makes sense.
Yeah. All right, and fun fact number three, I think that you will like this one.
Cool.
So you know,
can I marry a person and a mermaid at the same time?
I don't know. Maybe that's a future update. Do you remember the little like abandoned cabin near the cavern that like there's a store at and there's like a monkey?
Yeah, I accidentally bought an item there.
What'd you buy?
I don't know. I was trying to click.
Oh, you bought a piggy bank.
Yeah,
I bought a piggy bank. Because I remember seeing that in your house.
The one piece of non-starting furniture I have.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, where'd you get that? And you're like, I accidentally bought it. Well, the monkey's name that mans that store, or monkeys that store, his name is Concerned Monkey. And so does that like maybe make you think of anything else, or do you think that's like a nod to someone.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, I know Stardew Valley was developed by a company called Concerned Ape.
Yes.
I think that's basically Eric Barone is his name.
Yeah, good job.
It sometimes pops up on my newsfeed since I kind of looked up some stuff about Stardew Valley at one point.
Yeah. So that is most likely not been confirmed, but we're all pretty sure that is definitely
a nod
to the Stardew Valley creator, Concerned Ape, just like you said, because that game obviously had a very strong influence on Coral Island and everything like that. So
cool.
Yeah, so those are my fun facts.
Good fun facts. Nice.
And well, one more bonus fun fact.
Bonus fun fact, you know, what,
for fun. In one of the interviews with the creator, they're asked, like, oh, well, what made you decide to add the ocean cleanup element to the game? And he was like, well, we're parents. We want to have a good message in the video game. But not be too overbearing, like,
yeah,
where it's, like, punishing it in your face or whatever. And I just thought that was kind of funny.
We're parents here.
We're parents. And we want our kids to take care of the environment.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And that's kind of what I thought when I was playing it too. I'm like, yeah, they're just trying to kind of like, it's a good reminder, you know, like your stuff has to go somewhere. You don't want it in the ocean. So
yeah, true.
Yeah.
All right, I got just a very, very brief summary of the story. Mm-hmm. If you want to hear it.
Yeah, because I feel like your main story isn't that much of a part of the game.
Yeah,
it's there.
It's mostly, the story is mostly with all the characters and exactly. Their kind of individual stories.
Yeah, and there's so many different ones. It's like there's no way we could,
yeah,
it would take us so long. We'd have to go through like each character. Yeah,
but the basics of the story is that you are trapped on this island with a bunch of wealthy models.
Oh my god, you're not trapped.
So yeah, it's like, and everyone's wealthy and everyone's a model.
Oh my god, no they're not.
You're extremely wealthy too, because you have this giant plot of land that's walking distance to the town and to the beach.
Where are you getting this story from?
I mean, this is all implied from what I could see. I mean, if you can walk to the beach from your farm and walk to the town, like, that's some pretty expensive land.
Oh my god. Everyone on this island's not rich. Everyone's not a model. They're regular people.
I mean, they all look like models.
Some of them could be rich. Some of them could be models.
Anyway, there are some giants and some mermaids and stuff.
Oh my god.
There's also the typical evil corporation called Pufferfish, who wants to make the town an oil facility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, evil.
And they also spilled a bunch of oil.
Yeah, in the ocean.
So you need to clean up the ocean.
Yeah.
And then what drives them out of town are vines.
Oh my god. So Eric clearly didn't like pay attention to the story of the game very much. So basically you quit your high stress, high level job, like your 9 to 5, because you're like, this is stressful. I gotta leave.
Yeah.
And you move to Coral Island and you take over your grandparents' old farm that's kind of dilapidated.
Your wealthy grandparents' farm.
So you get their farm and their land, and you're reviving it. And while you're doing that, you're also like helping revive the town and make it better for
the
like
town,
tourists to come.
Which starts off grade F.
Yes, yes. You have to get the rank up.
I assume that's related to the oil spill, but
definitely for sure.
I like how someone like came to their town and was like, you know what? I'm going to give this town an F.
Yes. But you're basically, you know, you're the town savior. That's why we were talking about at the beginning of the episode.
You really are. You do so much for this town. It's ridiculous.
And everyone loves you.
And everyone loves you, yeah.
They appreciate you.
Assuming you talk to them and give them presents.
Yes. But like every now and then you'll get like a letter from your old job and it's like, please come back. We're dying without you. Like, please. And they keep threatening to show up on the island. I still haven't seen them yet, but I feel like one day they're just going to be there.
One of my favorite letters I got was, it was a letter from my mom. And she's like, wow, your farm is doing so great. You made like a ton of money. You made over like $1 million. And then she was like, here's more money to celebrate the fact that you made a lot of money.
You can never have too much money.
Thank you, I think.
Honestly, that sounds like something your mom would do. So
probably. All right. So you want to move on?
Yeah. Let's talk about the stuff that we like about the game.
Yeah. Okay. So you go first since it was your pick.
Yeah. Overall, I think this game is really good. I have put a lot of hours into yes. it. I really enjoy it. I think I'm just now getting kind of to the point where it's probably time to, I think I'm kind of running out of things to really do.
So how many in-game like years are you in?
I think I'm about 5 in-game years. Oh, wow. Yeah. And I tried to like not really look up a lot of stuff at first, you know, to yeah. just find stuff organically and everything.
It is more fun to find stuff organically.
But now that I'm kind of like down to like, okay, I need one more insect, you know, actually now I don't need any more insects, but like, you know, once you get down to like, you need one more thing, it's kind of like, I'll just look and see where that's at. Cause like, I'm trying to finish this. I don't know. I'm not a completist, but sometimes I am. It just depends on my mood and like what I feel like doing.
Yeah. So you're pretty close to like 100%ing this game, you think?
The stuff that I want 100%, like I want to try to finish the museum and I only need like 3 or 4 more things for that.
Okay.
But like, I'm not going to try to cook all the recipes or buy all the different clothes or things like that. I'm not going to do that. But
you're not going to get every article of clothing?
Yeah.
You're not a fashionista?
I'm not. I mean, I could have enough money. I could buy them all. And I do have a lot of clothes, I'm not going to lie, but I don't have one of everything yet, so.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, like I'm like 5 in-game years into the game, and I'm still kind of finding new stuff about it, so.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
There's just a lot you can do. You know,
yeah, I mean that kind of blends into one of my pros really nicely. Mm-hmm. I just said that there's like just an absolutely ridiculous amount of content in this game.
Yeah,
so
yeah, there's a lot.
You have all like the regular stuff like farming, fishing, dating, exploring the caverns, combat, you know, those are like pretty typical with a lot of the farm sim type games.
Yeah, I think this game does really good at like being a classic farm simming game with some of those extra things like that we kind of have come to expect, but they've also added a lot of their fresh take to stuff, you know, like they've done their own thing with it.
Yeah, so they've also added like, you know, you have the ocean to clean up, mm-hmm. can get an underwater farm. There are just a ton of mini games like in the festivals.
Yeah, you can become a merperson.
Yeah, you become a merperson.
You have basically almost like 2 games, like an underwater city and world and stuff, and then you're above ground.
Yeah, so you have a whole nother town like of merpeople in the ocean that can kind of like build relationships with them as well.
I think that's really one of the main things that sets it apart from Stardew Valley or anything like that, is that you have a whole diving underworld. Is that you have a whole diving underwater section. I really haven't seen that in any other games that I've played so far.
Yeah. I mean, that was definitely a cool imaginative like addition to mm-hmm. the farm sim.
And because being able to have like underwater animals and stuff was kind of neat.
Like I didn't really expect you to essentially get a whole second underwater farm when I started playing the game, but
me
like,
either.
Now that I've seen it, I'm like, oh man, that's such a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, it just adds so much, and they're still not even done with the game. They still have more updates and stuff planned, which I guess we'll talk about later.
Yeah, I saw that.
But yeah, overall, I think like they do borrow a lot from other games, and some stuff it's like, okay, you know, I've done this, but it's they do add their own stuff to it. It's different. It's worth playing, in my opinion.
Yeah, they expand on it in a different way than like the direction Stardew Valley went. Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I really like is that you can have pets, and then we were talking about the farm animals already, but I think it's cool that you can have the farm animals and get the milk and get the byproducts. Is that what it's called from the animals?
Yeah, you can process them into like mayonnaise or milk or cheese, stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it's nice they let you have pets, regular pets, and then also, you know, get your farm animals too.
Yeah. So you can have like, I think... and most of the other farm sim games, it's like you get one pet to kind of start with. Mm-hmm. In this game, you can have like pretty much as many as you want.
Yeah. You can have some outdoors and some indoors, I believe.
Yeah. It's cats, dogs, other animals.
There's a lizard. A little fox, rabbits.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, you get a pretty good variety of pets to choose from. I mean, you know, more than just cats and dogs, so.
So another pro is just that I think that, like, when I compare it to other farm sims and stuff, like, you know, Stardew Valley, Animal Crossing, Disney Dreamlight Valley, mm-hmm. I feel like Coral Island definitely, like, it's up there with those games far as, like, quality and, like, the gameplay and all that stuff. And there's some things I feel like it even does better than some of those games, mm-hmm. like the ability to automate, like, your processes and stuff like that, the core kind of chore elements of your farm.
Yeah.
Which is a really nice touch. Mm-hmm. There are some other things, like the expanding and going, like, kind of the underwater direction was really cool. Was a really cool mm-hmm. idea.
Yeah, being able to turn into a mermaid is really cool.
And my guess is that if you like any of those games, you're probably going to like this game too.
I think so. I would definitely recommend it if you like those other games. Like, it's worth a try. I think it was only like $30. So
yeah,
I've definitely got my money's worth out
yeah,
of it.
For the amount of hours it can definitely soak up, it's 100% worth that price.
Yeah. Another thing about this game is it's super addicting.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely one more.
I don't know. That could be bad and good sometimes, you know, but I think it's addicting in, like, a fun way.
Yeah, it's definitely a one more day type of game where it's like,
yeah,
okay, I'll just do one more day.
and then you're like, five more days. It's 2 a.m. And you're like, oh, God.
Then you get to the next game and it's like, oh, your axe is ready. It's like, oh, well, I can't just not do this day. I'll forget that I have my axe ready.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Yeah, like, I've definitely done that. And then one day, I feel like 30 minutes, so it's not that fast. What's something else you like?
So, I really like the design and the aesthetics of the island. Mm-hmm. It's like, everything looks really pretty. And, like, by the time you're, like, cleaning up all the trash and, like, making it even prettier, you know, it, like, it's very satisfying to see it get cleaned up.
It is, man. You clean up so much trash.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the end, it's all worth it.
It is, yeah.
Just like in real life.
What's something that you like?
I know the music is kind of like relaxing, but it's supposed to be, and I like it. I also think this is a game where you can put it on mute and just play your own music while you're playing.
That's true, yeah. I honestly found the music maybe a little bit too relaxing. It's like,
I know, sometimes I'd be like, man, I'm going to doze off. Yeah, I'm
feel my eyes getting heavy.
I'm like, is this the same exact music they play when I go get a massage every now and then? Like,
yeah, it was good, but it was very on the relaxing side. Maybe a little bit too much for me.
Yeah, but like none of the characters, there's no real like dialogue or anything that you need to hear necessarily. So I feel like I've definitely played it while I just put it on mute and just had like playlist going.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think the overall map design of the town and the underwater town and the savannah and all that, there's just a lot of different areas to explore. It's big enough to where it feels not super, like, repetitive. You know, you're not always going to the same places. But, like, not too big where, like, you can't remember where stuff is or anything like that.
So. Yeah, it's not overwhelming. Yeah, it's a good size. And, like, I feel like having the farm just kind of, like, out there where you can essentially run into town without any, like, you don't have to go through any loading screens to get to town. It's all, mm-hmm. like, kind of one map area. I felt like that was really well designed.
Yeah.
And then another thing that I really liked was just the fact that you get warping super early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these farm sims will kind of add warping like way late in the game, but you get it super early in this game. So if you need to like go to the store and grab some seeds or something, it doesn't take like a whole lot of in-game time to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like you don't have to plan like a whole your day around going into town or anything.
Yeah, because like running and dashing, like you can dash while you're running, but like, it just kind of gets boring after a while.
Yeah. You know? It's still good to like sometimes look around for bugs and scavenge
items. Oh, yeah,
I
still run around all the time, even though I don't really have to.
But yeah, it is like it is well designed and that warping system is so, so nice.
And then eventually you can get a horse too, like kind of like in Stardew Valley, even though I never got a horse in Stardew Valley. I heard that you can get a horse.
Yeah, you can get a horse.
And you know, that's a lot faster to just, if you want to just go around and like pick up things from all your traps or whatever.
Yeah.
I think they do a really good job with all the festivals like that they have planned. That's kind of fun. They do more than what like Stardew Valley does. Although some of them are kind of ripoffs from Stardew Valley.
Yeah. Like I said, this game does kind of make its own mark, and it does expand in a different way than Stardew Valley. I feel like expanded. Stardew Valley definitely has, like, I don't dislike Stardew Valley. In fact, there are some things I still like. I still think Stardew Valley did better. But yeah, definitely this game has some cool stuff to it. Like the festivals are definitely a highlight.
The festivals are fun because they have like mini games there. They usually have shops where you can get kind of unique stuff that you might not be able to get all the time. And then usually there's like a big event, like a parade or a potluck thing.
Yeah, or adding an ingredient.
Yeah, or you're like trying to beat Bobby.
Have your farm stuff judged.
Yeah. Farm contest. What's something else that you like?
So I really like the diversity of the cast, the inclusion.
That's what I had for the next one.
LGBT themes and stuff in the game. I thought that was nice. It just makes for a more satisfying experience when you like when everyone's invited to the party and you're not leaving people out.
It's very like open about being LGBTQI friendly. They have like a rainbow flag on the front of the community center.
I thought that was cool.
I was like, okay, right away, you know, that they're kind of open-minded. The dating for the romance, you can date men or women, both. How many ever people you want, you can date everybody if you want to.
Everyone in town. Just like,
I mean, not the kids, thank God, but like all the single adults you can date.
Or the people who are like already taken. This is funny.
Yeah, you can't date the people that are married either. Can you date? Unfortunately, you can't just be a homewrecker.
You're far enough in the game. Can you date the mermaids?
I haven't been able to date any of the mermaids yet. They might be adding that in the future. I'm not sure, but I'm not really, I haven't been able to date. But I'm already, I didn't get married, so I don't know if it'll let me really date.
Can you get divorced but, and date a mermaid?
As far as like, you know how you can ask the townspeople to hang out and then you can go do an activity with them or whatever. Yeah. They don't really have that for the mermaids yet, so I would imagine to date them you would need have that. So
yeah, I got you. So you probably can't date the mermaids yet.
Probably not yet, but I think you probably will be able to, because you can give them gifts and stuff now, so it wouldn't probably take that much more to just add some dates in there.
We demand dateable mermaids. Or I do.
But yeah, I think the cast also is like pretty diverse. It can always be more diverse, definitely, because like I think they could definitely add like a character in a wheelchair or, you know, just something like that. I mean, but, you know, they do have like a teacher with a biomechanical arm, which is pretty cool. And one of my favorite things really is there's a character named Alice. And she's had a kid, you know, part of her story is she's a single mom and, you know, she's co-parenting with her ex-husband or whatever. But anyways, when you see her on the beach, you know, you see her in a bathing suit, it shows her stretch marks on her stomach, which is something a lot of women get when they're after they're pregnant or when they're pregnant because their belly stretches out. And I've never seen something like that in a video game. I just thought that was super cool. And so like the diversity of all the characters, I think it's like they could do more, but you know, it's a good start, you know, and they can always add more characters too. So
exactly, I think that's all I had. Do you have any other pros?
We kind of talked about the mini games, and I think a lot of those are pretty fun. Like they get kind of repetitive after like the third or fourth year, but like you know, at first they're like pretty fun and stuff, but I'm glad they added that. And then, like, another thing I think is really good about this game is within the settings, there's a lot of different settings that you can change. So you can customize the game a little bit how you want. So, like, for example, for the time, you can change that between 24-hour time or 12-hour time, whatever you're used to telling time as.
Yeah.
Which is good. If you don't like combat, I learned that there's a setting called, like, first aggro or something, where basically when you're in the cavern the monsters won't attack you first, you have to attack them first before they'll fight back. So if you don't want to do the combat, like, you don't really have to.
So I didn't know that. Yeah, you can completely avoid the combat and the options.
Yeah, Okay. Which, it, like, in the regular cavern, it's not as noticeable, you know, because I feel like the combat in there is pretty easy.
Yeah, most of the enemies aren't really straight out attacking you.
Yeah, but once you unlock the savanna area, there's another kind of, like, cave that I guess, I don't know if you'd call it a cavern, but it's like a cave that you have to go down, like, the floors of. So kind of similar to the cavern. But the combat for that area is a lot more aggressive. Like, the monsters will come attack you almost immediately, like, that you land on the floor. Okay. And so, like, it can get a little annoying if you're just wanting to go down there and mine for stuff or get things and not really do the combat. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Anyways. So that sounds like a potentially convenient setting.
Yeah. But, yeah, I would say go look at all the different settings for the game and, like, make it however you want.
Cool.
All right, so you want to move on to the cons?
Sure, yeah.
Since we were talking about the combat just now, I know that was one thing that you didn't really like.
In my opinion, it's a little bit too easy, and then the AI is just a little bit too predictable, and it gets just pretty repetitive really quickly. And it's, like, not super challenging either, so it's, like, this whole time I played, I've never even gotten close to running low on HP.
Yeah.
So I feel like if they added, like, a difficulty setting or something, mm-hmm. that would help a lot.
Have you made it to the savanna area
yet? No, not yet.
Okay. I think you will like the fighting in that cavern a lot more than the other.
So it's a lot more challenging?
It is a little more challenging, and I actually have, like, died in there. You have to, like, keep some mushrooms, keep some fruits or something on hand so that you can, like, you know, if you're getting low on HP, eat something. And
gotcha. So they put that way towards the back of the game.
A little bit, yeah. I definitely think combat was not their first
thought. Yeah.
It's not really their priority. You know, I don't think that's really the kind of audience they're shooting for, is people that like to fight a lot. Like, this is a cozy game, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a balance to me. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like the combat system was a bit better in Stardew Valley, where it was, like, a little bit more intense, a little bit harder.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just me personally. I know, like, not everyone liked the combat in Stardew Valley either, so yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Our friend Sue that was on that episode, yeah, she's like, I avoid it. So I'm like, for people like her, and like, I don't didn't really care that much about the combat either. I really didn't even think about it until you said something. I was like, oh yeah, I guess it is kind of easy, but I really don't care that much. Okay. But I will be interested to hear your opinion after you make it to the savanna area and see what that combat is like and see if you like it a little bit better.
Okay. So what's a negative that you had?
So I think when you're creating your personal character, they could have a few more options as far as, like, customizing it.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Like what?
I don't remember there being, like, any body type options. Pretty much just the skinny person, which I guess is fine or whatever. But
no, you're a farmer. You're working on your island.
Yeah.
Or your farm.
But
or whatever.
I feel like I've just kind of gotten used to them at least having, like, skinny, medium curvy, chubby curvy or whatever options. So you can kind of make your body look a little, I don't know. I'm being nitpicky here, honestly. I really like this game. So there's not a whole lot of stuff I don't like about it, so but I was like, yeah, you could, like, maybe make the personal character creation, like, a little more, have a few more options.
Yeah, I agree with that. Another kind I had were just, like, the few glitches I encountered. So, like, you know, my game crashed during the Halloween festival, which sucked because, you know, that was, like, at the very end of the day.
Yeah,
I did, like, during winter, I noticed that, like, some of the textures were kind of blinking out of existence and back in a little bit.
There's still, like, some small bugs for sure.
Yeah, just stuff like that. I mean, it's never fun when your game just totally crashes or freezes, but it only really happened to me that one time. Did you ever get any?
I think it happened maybe, like, once or twice. I think it happened once when I was in the ocean and I was going to, like, another big area or something, and it kind of just glitched out. And then there might have been one other time, but yeah, like the other day it actually, like, closed out on its own. Ooh, yeah. To where it was like, you know how it gives you that menu where it's like, report this bug and restart. I was like, I guess I'll do that. But really not that bad. Yeah. And then there was, like, right when I started playing, they did, I think, the 1.2 update, and that kind of made it to where if I didn't pick up any of the stuff off the ground for like, if it was on the ground and I went to sleep and I came back the next day to pick it up, it would just, it was stuck on the ground. So my farm looked super messy for like a week, but they got the bug fixed pretty like quickly, I thought so.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. Honestly, it's not too bad. But yeah, just a few little things that could be cleaned up.
Yeah, for sure.
You have anything else?
Just like some of the mini games get a little repetitive after, you know, the first couple years. It would be nice if maybe they would just like switch out some of the games occasionally or something. Well, I'm not a video game designer, but none of them seem super hard to do. Yeah. So it's like, you could probably just mix in a few or like make it towards not the same exact games every year, maybe, or
yeah, I don't know, maybe some way to change it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like my biggest criticism is just that maybe it borrows a little bit too much from Stardew Valley, especially in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It almost like feels like the same game until you get to the diving aspect.
Yeah.
But overall, like, this is a great game and a great effort.
I think that kind of like hindered me in a way too, because like it was so similar to Stardew Valley at the beginning, and I was just started to assume that things would be like Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
But it's not. Like, a lot of stuff is so different. So, you know, like, I feel like having, in Stardew Valley, you go to one place to upgrade your tools, right? You don't have to go to multiple places to upgrade your net, upgrade your sword, whatever. I mean, this game, there is several places, well, two places where you can upgrade your tools. And I went, like, almost the whole entire game without updating two of my tools, because I just assumed, okay, well, these you just don't upgrade, you know, you just,
yeah,
these are what you get.
I think in Stardew Valley, you do get better fishing poles, but you buy them, you don't really take them to the blacksmith.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have a bug net in the game, so yeah, I can understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, so anyways, like, don't just automatically assume everything is just like Stardew Valley. Some stuff is, but yeah. All right, so, you know, this is a very high strategy game.
Yeah, there's really not much I think we need to talk about in this section.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of it's just the same things that you would do for, like, any farming sim or, you know, whatever, like, level up your tools, hoard everything.
Yeah, hoard everything. Like,
that's Eric's motto.
Get chests, lots of chests, and organize your stuff by chest.
Yes. Like, talk to all the characters, give them gifts on their birthday, especially because you want those hearts. Like, you want to build up the hearts with each of the characters.
Yeah, I found that festivals were a good way to build up hearts, because, like, if you just talk to everyone at the festival,
mm-hmm.
it's like some of the hearts are going to go up.
Yeah. And then later on, it's like, once you've done a bunch of stuff, they introduce these activities that you can add to the town. And in order to do those, not only do you have to have the materials needed, but you have to have a certain, like, friendship levels with characters and stuff to, like, accomplish those.
Yeah.
So it's like, go ahead and build up your friendships and everything now, so you don't have to just spend weeks hanging out with everyone 24/7 because you didn't do it before.
I found winter to be, like, one of the better times to, like, hang out with people, since there's, like, less going on your farm in general.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, that was a good time to catch up, like, on all the events and stuff that had what build.
Yeah.
All right.
Explore everywhere. You know, a lot of times there's like things that are sort of camouflaged or hidden. So if you can just kind of slow down and look at stuff, you know, that, I think that's helpful. A big one is like, get a computer soon as you can from the lab. The lab sells like a home computer kind of thing.
Well, it tells you where everything is, right? Like, where the fish, what fish are in the fishing spot. Well,
you have to get the computer, and then you have to get the separate chips for it. But yes, once you get that, you'll basically have a computer in your house that you can log into. It allows you to see maps that will show you literally where all the bugs are. So if there's like one bug you're trying to catch, you can go straight to that point and get it.
Yeah.
If, as long as you can catch it. Or like fish, it'll tell you which bodies of water are gonna have what fish for that day.
Yeah, it seems super helpful.
And at what time. They break the day up into like four time periods for the fish. So it's like morning, evening, afternoon, night. Oh man, that is like probably one of the most helpful things. And I didn't really get it at first. I was like, I don't need, I thought it was just mostly for online shopping, which you do get with the computer as well, which means you can shop from your house and not have to run all over the place to buy stuff, which is really cool too. So I didn't get a computer for a while until I was like looking for, a few things I was missing. And of course, they have a really solid subreddit that's very helpful, and they also have a really good Coral Island wiki that's like super helpful.
Cool.
But yeah, I saw people talking about the computer and it's like, it'll tell you exactly where stuff is. I was like, oh my god, immediately went and got it. Do you have anything for strategy?
You pretty much covered it all.
Okay. Another thing is, like, we kind of touched on this earlier, but this game allows you to automate a lot of your tasks, which is really nice. So I would definitely say to start automating your farm like as soon as you can.
Yeah, I mean, one of the easiest things to do and one of the first things I did was just get a bunch of sprinklers and just not have to water your crops. Yeah, again.
And then for the barns and the coops too, you can get an auto feeder, you can get an auto petter, you can get an auto collector, and if you get those three things, it will like save you so much time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Like, at first, I felt really guilty about the auto petter. Because I was like, man, that is so dystopian. But then I started to spend almost, like, an hour or two petting all my animals. Because, like, you have to pet them once a day to keep them
an
happy.
An hour of in-game time, I assume, and not, like, regular
time.
Yeah,
an hour of in-game time or two. And it was like, before you know it, I'm starting my day and it's like 10 a.m. in the game before I'm like done petting all my animals, yeah. Yeah, they have like also like auto chests. Like I've seen stuff on the Reddit where people have, they have it looking like a factory. They'll have their auto chest set up with conveyor belts and like all this stuff. And they'll have like a whole chain reaction sort of thing going. And I tried to look that up and my brain was just like, no. I was like, I could probably figure this out. It might take me a little bit. And I was like, do I really care? I'm already like, I have so much money in this game anyway. I don't really need.
Yeah. You're already a millionaire.
Else. Yeah. And then one more thing that I think is very helpful is when you look at your items on the inventory screen, it will tell you if you've donated it to the museum or offered it up to wherever it needs to be offered. And that can save you a lot of time from running, just going to the museum every 5 seconds to check to make sure you have something, like don't have anything to donate, which is what I was doing for a while. I'd be like, oh, I got a bunch of animals. Let me go see if I have anything to donate. And then I noticed, oh, I can just look in inventory. It'll tell me if I've donated. So I don't need to be running to the museum 5 million times a day.
Yeah. If you want to take a trip, you can just quickly look through your inventory and see like what you have available to donate.
Yeah. And it's nice because like I was keeping a notes app in my phone of all the stuff I needed for the goddess temples, just so I wouldn't have to keep running to the goddess altars, checking to see what I needed. And that would have come in kind of handy if I would have known, like, that it'll just tell you if it needs to be offered next to it, like when you get in your inventory. So
yeah, that is convenient.
Oh, and then like, sorry, I just remember one more other thing. There's a black market in this game. Have you been to the black market?
I have not. No.
Really? Okay. It's that boat that's at the lookout next to the lighthouse.
Okay. Yeah.
It comes up at night. What days is it? I'm trying to remember.
I have noticed the boat.
It's Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I think it's either like Friday or Monday. But like Tuesday and Thursdays for sure. After 8, like 20 p.m., there's like a boat in that dock right there.
Yeah, I remember seeing a boat there, but I couldn't interact with it at all.
You have to be incognito. So if you're standing there waiting before 8 o'clock, she will not come out and sell you stuff. Or he. It's a person in a costume. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. Because one night I was like in the area before 8 o'clock waiting. And then they just parked there. And she never opened up. So it's like, if you're not sneaky about it, you have to basically wait till after 8:20 and then walk over there. But yeah, you can sell all your artifacts that you don't need to donate to the museum. They'll buy them for like a marked up amount, which is more than if you just put it in your bin, And then also they sell things. So, like, there's a whole black market shop. You can get different fossils, different artifacts. If there's something you need, you can get the chests. Like, sometimes there's different chests you can buy. She even has, like, a stamina plant, stamina pill, whatever you call it, that you can take, and it'll increase your stamina forever, permanently. That thing's, like, really expensive, but anyways, black market's cool, and you can get a lot of stuff that you might need there. You can sell stuff too.
Cool. So. Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
I could give so many. Like, this really isn't strategy. We should have just had a section for tips and tricks.
I mean,
because honestly, I can give so many tips and tricks for this game of stuff that I've learned.
That's kind of what strategy is, in my opinion. Just tips to, like, play the game. Just tips for playing the game. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I just feel like aren't super obvious. So, anyways.
Cool, yeah.
Luckily, there's the internet.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a pretty good summary of strategy things you could think about.
Yeah, cool. Thanks. All right, so are you ready to move on and talk about the future of
the
game?
Sure, yeah, let's do it.
Cool. So I did mention earlier in the history part that I wanted to talk about something later in the future part. So let's talk about that, because I think this is important. So one of the things, I was looking at the Kickstarter campaign, and I kind of mentioned, was that there was a lot of comments on there from, like, people who were kind of angry because they had backed this game and they thought there was going to be a Switch port, but there's still no Switch port.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
And they
have
it for everything else. So a part of that is because Humble Games, the company that published Coral Island, and I guess maybe they still technically are, but it's kind of a thing. So they announced that they were restructuring, I'll put that in air quotes, last year in 2024, and they basically laid off, like, all their employees. And I say restructuring in quotes because pretty much the employees were saying that is just to save face. That's not true. Like, they're basically shutting down. So anyways, that's their publisher. And I'm not exactly sure everything works, but I think that is part of the reason why they don't have a Switch port yet for this game.
Yeah.
It's because they might need to get a new publisher. Or maybe they need to, like, figure that out.
Yeah, that could definitely affect what platforms you could publish your game for.
Mm-hmm.
If your publisher is going out of business or something's happening with
them.
Yeah. That's kind of a shame for Humble Games.
Yeah. That sucks. That sucks for, sounds like everybody, but yeah. So, yeah, I wanted to kind of just mention that a little bit because that is something that's affecting the game right now. And I guess I was like, it's kind of the future, even though it's sort of the past.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of good information to put out there.
Mm-hmm. But moving on to, like, the updates and stuff, it has had a couple of updates since it was released. Like, a lot of these games kind of do updates periodically and things where they add content and all.
Yeah,
that.
You kind of mentioned the 1.2 patch came out, and that kind of fixed some of the glitches that were going on with, like, you being able to pick up items and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I know they have the 1.2B patch planned, which is supposed to add a haunted house, arcade mini games, and a tattoo shop.
And season recaps.
And season recaps.
Yeah. And then they also have a 1.3 planned.
Yeah, I saw that too.
As well, which sounds really interesting. They're going to have the kids growing up, which is kind of cool. A merfolk festival, a new jealousy system, or like a jealousy system, which that's going to be bad for.
Yeah, it's going to be bad for me having my mer wife and my human wife. Yeah, they're not going to get along, I don't think.
And 1.3 will also have something I know people have been asking for since it came out, which is a manual save option.
Yeah, that's nice.
That is nice.
Yeah, so you can, like, save before the festival in case you think it might glitch out or something.
Mm-hmm. Or if you just want to do half a day instead of, like, completing your whole day, going to sleep, you know, and then quitting your game, you can do that.
True. Sounds like they're still putting a lot of work into this game, so which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Did he have anything else for future?
Yeah, the only other thing, and this is more, well, this is just for Stairway Games, but they have a new game out called Fungi Swarm.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
It looks kind of like a bullet, what is it called? Bullet
Bullet Hell.
A Bullet Hell roguelike sort of thing. It's in early release right now on Steam.
Cool.
They have their second game. Woo!
Pretty cool.
Good for them. Sounds like they're doing all right.
All right.
Yes.
So I bet you're excited to find out how I did with all the challenges you gave me, because you gave me a couple of them.
Did you complete all the goddess altars?
No.
Did you beat Bobby Flay? I'm just kidding. Beat Bobby.
No. Well, okay. In my defense,
so you did zero of the challenges.
I'm in year two now. Okay. I'm like summer of year two. So I've really only had one chance to go against them.
Okay.
Like this game, it's ridiculously ridiculous how much is in this game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm like I'm more than 60 hours in, I think. And I'm like only on year two.
Wow. Yeah.
Just to give you an idea of how much time this game can absorb.
Yeah, for sure. So no, you did not complete the challenges.
Yeah, I mean, you gave me some pretty tough challenges. So, I mean, have you finished the Goddess Temple yet?
Yes.
Okay.
I have.
And I assume you've beaten Bobby Flay.
Oh, yeah. Or just regular Bobby. I've beat him twice. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So it is possible.
Definitely is possible.
Sure. What year would you say you did both those things in the game?
The third
year?
Third and fourth year. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, so I stalled.
But some people have done it a lot quicker.
Yeah, I feel like if I were looking stuff up on the internet, I probably could have maybe done it.
Yeah, true.
But it's fine. I didn't want to do that.
So you're rapping.
All right.
Let's hear some Coral Island rap.
Part remade and it's my time to reign. Got kicked off the plane, now I'm looking for my mane. I've got sex on my veins, but slapped in a train while restrained by the mayor for being profane. Campaign like a crane, trained on a brain game. I'm trying to obtain every Vic, Jane, and Dame. Built three truck lanes to haul all my grains. Flush money down the drain like I'm burning propane. I'm preordained to smoke Mary Jane. Mark Twain can't explain why I'm playing Max Payne. Get entertained or ascertain how the ladies seem to think that I'm insane.
Oh, good job, Eric.
Thanks, yeah. I really put a lot of work into that.
You slayed that rap.
All right, so I bet you're excited to hear what the next game is.
I'm stoked.
All right,
it's gonna be December.
Yeah, so what do you think about when you think about December?
Snow. Well, not here in Georgia, but you know, typically movies with snow in it.
Just movies with snow in it, all right.
Christmas,
wow, yeah.
New Year's Eve. That right. happens in December.
I'll give you a hint. I'm picking a very, very Christmas themed game.
Oh, okay.
In my opinion.
Mortal Kombat.
No.
Cthulhu Saves Christmas 2.
They made a second one?
No. Not that I know of anyway.
Okay, so we are going to play Hitman Blood Money Reprisal.
Ooh, Hitman?
Yeah, I've never played this game, so I have no idea.
I've been wanting to play a Hitman game.
Yeah, me too.
They sound kind of fun. They're stealth games,
this
right?
This is kind of an older one that was kind of like re-released on console.
Okay.
So this one, I think, originally came out for PS3, Xbox 360 back mm-hmm. in the day. But it's a Christmas game because at one point I think you can put a Christmas hat on.
Nice.
Agent 46.
And that makes it a Christmas game.
Probably messed that up. Yeah. Done. And therefore it is a very Christmassy done. Game.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'll agree with you on
thank
that
you.
One.
All right. So I bet you're.
If Die Hard can be a Christmas movie,
this is
Hitman can be a Christmas game.
And then your challenge is going to be, you're going to have to get a trophy called Redemption.
Okay.
Which involves killing everyone in a mission called Requiem. I've like, never played the game, like, so I'll,
like Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, like that not. That word. Not the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never played this game, so I have no idea if this is hard or not. You'll have to okay. tell me when you're trying to kill everyone in this mission.
I've heard these games can be kind of hard, so I don't know if there's like difficulty settings or anything like that, but I've heard they can be hard.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah, we will find out. Awesome. And what did you say this was on? Like PlayStation 5?
I have it on Switch.
Okay, cool.
And like I said, it's not like really a graphical update. So it's like kind of the original graphics, but
And it was on...
I think it was originally PS3 or Xbox 360. Okay. It was that generation. So right after PS2.
All
right.
Cool. So it's like a little bit of an older game.
Yeah.
All right. We haven't done an older game in a while. That'll be cool.
Yeah. That's kind of what I figured.
Yeah. Good pick.
All right. Yeah. Thanks. We'll find out. We'll find out if we like this or not.
Yeah. All right. Until next time, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
November and all that good stuff. All
right.
Bye.
Bye.